Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Today, we're revisiting one of our monthly installments of Pass the Mic. In this series, we invite someone in the community, maybe an author, a community organizer, an artist, to collaborate with us, to choose the guests and direct the narrative. Today, we pass the mic to longtime LGBTQ community leader and educator Jabari Lyles. Lyles is the former senior advisor and director of LGBTQ affairs in the Baltimore City Mayor's Office, the former executive director of GLSEN Maryland and the Pride Center of Maryland, and a former school teacher in Baltimore City. Currently, Lyles operates a small consulting firm supporting schools, nonprofits, and businesses across the country with LGBTQ inclusion training and technical assistance. Here is the conversation Lyles had with his guests in June, celebrating Pride Month.
10, 9, 8, check, check, 7, 1, 2, 5, 1, 2, 3.
I have a comment.
Wait, pass the mic.
1.
Hi, listeners. Thanks for tuning in to Pass the Mic. It's Pride Month, a time where you can find rainbow-colored shampoo bottles and honor the history, resistance, and resilience of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer communities. It's a Pride Month episode, y'all. To all of my alphabet siblings, to my queer, trans, non-binary, and same-gender-loving family, if no one has told you recently, know that I love you, I see you, I'm fighting for you, and that our lives matter this and every month of the year. Let's get into it, shall we? You heard in the intro that I formerly worked in the mayor's office as Baltimore's first director of LGBTQ affairs. In this role, I partnered with the mayor and other city agencies to work towards a more LGBTQ inclusive Baltimore, including establishing a new mayor's office of LGBTQ affairs. I am so excited and deeply honored to welcome London Smith de Richelieu.
Yes.
Yes. Who has been recently appointed as the mayor's new director of LGBTQ affairs. London is the first openly transgender person to be appointed to the mayor's cabinet and is tasked with leading this new office. London, thank you for sharing this conversation with me and welcome to Pass the Mic.
Thank you so much for the invitation to be here. It's great to be amongst friends, especially around this celebratory and protest time.
Yes.
To be in this space. And I'm thankful that the station has us here to mark this moment in history with our office.
So now you're the new director. What are some of your top priorities as Baltimore's new LGBTQ affairs director?
One of the first things that I would love to work on is building cultural competency and cultural humility across city agencies, departments, and quasi-government agencies. I think that that's the key. I am an employee of Baltimore City residents. I work for you. You know, I work for the residents of this city. And I want to make sure that when you come into our spaces, that we are practicing the best protocols and best practices, not only for the employees, but also for residents and, you know, citizens who come into the agencies and they come into the spaces. And so I want to build in a component around cultural humility. And one of the other things that I was focusing on is dealing with law enforcement, mm-hmm. and how they handle LGBTQ-related crimes, you know, how they dispatch to incidences, how they get the data back to us. And, you know, I also want the LGBTQ liaison from the police department to be a person who is able to find out about incidences that occur in community, be able to report to some of the nonprofits in the areas, so that we can help them to dispatch resources to the victims and their families when necessary. And we also able to collect data for our own needs assessments. And we have the data there. This incident happened on this location. And we're able to put that out to the community and let them know this isn't a safe space for you.
Right.
Right? You shouldn't be on the corner of blah, 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 and blah, blah around, you know, or this person is a person of interest who has been, you know, dealing with community. And, you know, particularly we want to keep it real. Say black trans women, right? We know there's an epidemic of violence against black trans women. Mm-hmm. We, you know, the cases often go cold. We never know what happens, right? Mm. It's like you hear you know, someone is killed. You know, we have a vigil. We cry. We're upset. And then it's just forgotten about.
Right.
And it's like we don't have the information to move forward. And it's like we want people in the community, for one, to feel comfortable enough to be able to come back and tell, you know, hey, this is what happened. And then two, we want to be able to disseminate that information back out into communities so they know where is safe and who the people are that we're looking for.
You know, that's actually a good lead in to the next question I want to ask you. It can be challenging to hold the government accountable when you work for the government. And, you know, government has had a history of violence for our community. And so we have to help the government understand that and hold them accountable and also play on their team at the same time. So
my allegiance is obviously, it has to be to both, right? To the people and to the office. But what I realize is that my allegiance should be to the government because the government should be working for the people. Mm-hmm. And I work for the people. So we should be already in coordination together. So it should be that allegiance to one should be allegiance to the other. You know, you want to have allegiance to the government, but if the government is not really trained on cultural humility and understands the needs and issues of the people that I am, you know, specifically here to service the LGBTQ constituency, I think it's important that we train them so that when they are in spaces that I'm not available and around, that they can hold others accountable and they know what holding, you know, policy accountable looks like. And, you know, I think that that is the ultimate key, is training them beyond pronouns, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're more than pronouns, again, as we've stated before.
Right. That's London Smith de Richelieu on Pass the Mic, a monthly series on WYPR. I'm Jabari Lyles, your host for June, LGBTQ Pride Month. We're talking about London's new role as Director of LGBTQ Affairs for the Office of the Mayor and her plan for leading LGBTQ inclusion in Baltimore City. And London, you and I both know that this is a long game, right? This is a marathon.
Yes.
It is not a sprint. You have to play the game, right? You
yes.
have to be able to be a member of the team and also push the team to be better. So how can folks in our community, folks who are not in our community, other stakeholders, nonprofits, business leaders, how can we support this awesome work in the mayor's office?
Holding these institutions that are supposed to be working in community accountable for their racism, their transphobia. And I'm in a space where it's very, like, it's hard for me because it's like, on one term, it's like you work for the community, but you're a part of the community, mm-hmm. right? And so it's like where there's some things that I, as London, want to protest and shout out against, right?
Sure.
And then as London, you know, from the mayor's office, how do I make the two work, right? And how does the activist London,
right.
how does she meet, you know, the director of LGBTQ affairs London, and they meet in a common place? And that's when the community comes into place for
right.
me.
Right.
The community can be a voice for the things that I can't say.
That is absolutely the case. And at the end of the day, the mayor and the city government, they work for us, the residents. And so if you can't, you know, raise hell about some things, then we certainly can as the voters and the constituents. So now you are the first openly trans person appointed to the mayor's cabinet. And like, that is just so incredible for so many reasons that we live in a city that has finally seen and honored the legacy of leadership and brilliance that has been among trans folks for so long. And what an incredible moment, you know, in our city's history. To any trans young people who might be listening, what piece of advice or encouragement would you send to them? You know, they're looking at you. You are, you know, on the mayor's cabinet. You're doing the big government thing. So you're a possibility model, London, for so many young folks. And so to those who are listening, what advice or encouragement would you send to them?
I just look at my younger self, right? I like to say this like I'm saying this to my younger self. And I would just look back, and this sounds so generic, but I would just say, London, don't stop. London, don't stop. And, you know, I don't want to, like, get teary-eyed, but this is a bittersweet moment and a bittersweet time because I've faced so much adversity, you know, throughout just in my adult life and in my childhood, right? And the thing for me that was so important is I always had people there. I always had a family to support me and love on me, whether it was my chosen family or my blood family. And I think that's very important for us in community, especially for youth. And that's one of my priorities, is to make sure that youth have people to lean on, yep. that they understand what it feels like to be loved, right? For someone to wrap their arms around them and to embrace them and to genuinely say, what do you need? So for me to be in this space, I sit in my privilege, I acknowledge it, and I want to use it to make sure that I bring other people up and I reach back Sankofa and pull them forward. One of the initiatives I'm working on right now is Be More Amplified, right? So you know, it's to amplify the voices of those that aren't heard, but it's also to make people around us, our allies, amplify their actions, amplify their look into account, holding themselves and others around us accountable. I think that's one of the ways that we stay safe. That's one of the other ways that we protect our youth and we bring them up, is to make sure that we're watching what's going on around and we amplify our actions and make sure that we say something.
We thank you for your yes. We thank you for stepping up into this role. We are so excited to support you. Thank you, London. Happy Pride.
Thank you.
London Smith Derishlia is Baltimore's newest director of LGBTQ affairs for the Office of the Mayor. Be sure to follow Baltimore City LGBTQ Affairs on Facebook and Instagram at Balt, B-A-L-T, City, C-I-T-Y, LGBTQ. You're listening to Pass the Mic, a monthly series on WYPR. I'm Jabari Lyles, your host for June, LGBTQ Pride Month. A quick break, and then we'll be back to chat with two young people for their perspective on this country's most recent attacks on the well-being of trans youth.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Today, we're listening back to our Pride installment of Pass the Mic from June. In this series, we invite someone in the community, an artist or a community organizer or a teacher, to collaborate with us, to choose the guests and direct the narrative. For this episode, we passed the mic to LGBTQ community leader Jabari Lyles.
This year alone, a record number of proposals for new laws targeting the health and freedom of transgender youth and adults appeared in state legislatures across the country. Even scarier, many of these proposals have become state law. In Texas, parents are being investigated for seeking out life-saving gender-affirming care for their children. In Florida, topics regarding gender and sexual orientation are banned from classrooms. Other states have been successful in banning trans girls from participating in school sports. Quoting a recent Vox article, the time to panic about anti-trans legislation is now. My guests today are Legacy Forte, who is the executive director and founder of Be More Black, a youth-led grassroots organization serving Black, queer, and trans youth here in Baltimore City. Welcome, Legacy.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Also joining us is Toby, a trans student in the 10th grade at Baltimore Polytechnic Institute, which we call here in Baltimore Poly. Welcome, Toby.
Heyo! Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I am so excited to be in conversation with both of you. So, Legacy, let's start. Tell us a little bit about Be More Black and why it was important to you to establish this new organization.
Well, Be More Black is a youth-led, queer, and Black-focused grassroots organization here in Baltimore. We've been in existence for a little... Actually, it'll be 2 years on Juneteenth this year. And it was brought to me as an idea of just a queer collective. And it was just basically an idea to provide resources, community, and just safety to queer youth, but specifically Black queer youth. And, you know, all I had to hear was queer and youth. And, you know, that was already my sector. So I was on board. And we've done things from like monthly distributions in the neighborhood. We distribute PPE. We do gender affirming clothing swaps. We give away free clothes, free hairstyles, free food, free toys. It's just an organization that is the older queer sibling that you wanted or needed growing up.
Mm-hmm. There currently are no other organizations that are focused particularly on Black queer youth in Baltimore City. So Be More Black is so important. So let's talk a little bit to Toby. You know, Toby, adults are debating what's best for you and youth, you know, in our community. Rarely do we listen directly to the young people who are affected. So I want to know, what is your take on the recent onslaught of anti-trans legislation happening around the country?
There's definitely a reason that they are targeting youth. They want to send the message to younger people because they want to tell them when they're young, your existence is wrong. You shouldn't feel safe in your existence. You shouldn't feel okay with your existence. And it's disheartening to see, you know, just all these laws being passed and just being brought up in general in this day and age, like, you'd think that we've progressed by now, but really it just feels like we're stepping back. And in the end, it feels like trans existence, sometimes it doesn't feel like we are regarded as people and more as a political debate.
Well, Toby, where can I vote for you? That was a new perspective that I haven't really heard of, is, you know, this focus on youth and why, because as someone who's been working on LGBT inclusion, particularly in schools, for a really long time, sometimes I ask myself, why now? Like, what is going on with all of this legislation? And so this strategy idea about targeting young folks and starting them young with teaching them that their identities are not theirs and that they're not welcome and they can't be safe, that is really new for me.
And I can't imagine, you know, trying to find yourself in this time when the government itself is questioning your existence. Because I remember back when I was trying to find myself, there was a YouTuber. He definitely said a lot of things about you know, trans existence, the whole trans trenderism, which basically trans trender, I don't know if anybody knows what this is.
Whoa.
But basically they're saying, oh, you're only trans for the trend.
Mm-hmm.
Why would it? It's not a trend. And this is just YouTubers. I can't imagine legislation, you know, backing up these points that are saying your existence is wrong. You shouldn't think this way. It's, you know, it's like brainwashing, basically. It really is.
Yep, and still here we are, regardless of all of that. So I appreciate this conversation. Legacy, so as a service provider, what are our youth coming to Be More Black for? What are some of their needs? What are their some of their experiences, their concerns? What are you hearing?
They are coming to Be More Black for just validation, for, like, you know, to be seen. And sometimes to even, like, figure out if it, like, who they are and, mm-hmm. like, what it means to be them. Like, one of the first, I guess, like, questions that I was asked by one of my kids, I call them my kids, was we were talking about identity and, like, how you identify and how, like, you know, your sexual identity and sexual orientation are, like, different. And I was, like, stating to them that I identify as, you know, a non-binary pansexual. And I said that I was queer, and they were like, queer? Like, what? I mean, I've heard that word a lot, but nobody ever really tells me what that means. So what does queer mean? Like, am I queer? And I, you know, I chuckled a little bit because it's just like, this is what I created the space for.
Right.
And I was just like, queer is if you feel like you're gay, if you feel like, you know, any like same sex or same gender loving, you know, emotion that you have, or anything that falls within the LGBTQ umbrella is queer. Like, that's just an all-encompassing term.
Right.
And if you feel like you're gay or a lesbian or pansexual or anything like that, you're queer, you know? And she was like, so, you know, am I queer? And I was just, and then we had that conversation and I was just like, I got some news for you, baby, you are, you know? And then since then, they've actually changed their pronouns to they, them, and, you know, come out as non-binary. And that's what they come to me for, to be a resource of knowledge and just support and community that they don't get to have at home or at school or really anywhere, like, where they can go and just, you know, question their, like, yeah, their existence. Like, you know, who am I? What does that mean for me? Like, am I allowed to feel this? Like, do I have permission to, you know, not be the only options that were presented to me? Do I have the permission to, you know, create my own option? And if I do, what does that look like? And they just want to get involved. They want to be very much in charge of the decisions that have something to do with their future. And I provide them with the resources, knowledge, or just, you know, knowledge of opportunity that it exists.
You're listening to Legacy Forte and Toby on Pass the Mic, a monthly series on WYPR. I'm Jabari Lyles, your host for June, LGBTQ Pride Month. We're talking with Legacy and Toby about the record number of anti-trans legislation popping up around the country and the needs and experiences of trans youth. So you know, Toby, supporters of the quote-unquote don't say gay law in Florida argue that gender and sexuality have no place in school. So how would you respond to that?
I would say that's not true at all. Like, we need to tell kids that it's okay to be who they are. Like, it is okay. Because by telling them young that, oh, this shouldn't be talked about in schools, you're just not ready for it, that's saying, like, this is just something that shouldn't be talked about. And that's something that they've been telling us for years. Hide your identity. That's what they're telling us, you know? Mm. And, you know, they say, oh, well, at least it's out of sight, out of mind, yep. You know?
I think a lot of people are saying that it is the parents' place to have this conversation.
Then that also assumes that everyone has parents that you can talk to.
And that is, I mean, since we already started with it not being talked about in schools and parents aren't as educated and the kids aren't as educated, so who's going to educate people on our identities? Like, if nobody is going to, who's going to stand up? The schools have to stand up. We have to be taught that it's okay, you know?
And that's why trans identity in, like, the cis heteronormative society remains as an opinion or something, because it's just like, if your opinion literally puts somebody's livelihood at risk, it is no longer an opinion. It is that is violence. That is violence. If you're transphobia equals violence. Like, you can have an opinion about somebody's, you know, I don't like that color shirt you have on, I don't like your haircut, but literally saying I don't think you should exist, that is not an opinion. That is a form of hate. That is a form of violence. So
politicians try and phrase it in the way that they're saying, oh, it's because we care. It's because we care about the kids. And it's an excuse for their bigotry. It's an excuse.
Y'all are making me think of a lot of things. Number one, we know, you know, school's role is to educate and nurture the next generation. And so when we don't talk about gender and sexuality, that's teaching our society that we as queer people don't exist. We don't belong. And so when you erase us from the school experience, you erase us from society. The second thing is, it's this rhetoric around we're doing this because we care. Have you read any of the research, any of the data that show that when you really care for a young person, you provide them with gender affirming care? This is the detriment of what happens when we don't. And so if you really cared, you would actually listen to us and follow the recommendations.
And a supportive family is also the biggest factor in, like, the suicide rates in the trans community as well.
So, you know, more on this point, Legacy and Toby, what's one thing that all of us are getting wrong about gender expansiveness and trans inclusion? What is something we could all be doing better?
I feel like sometimes we overcomplicate it when we talk about it with kids. And once again, I just feel like we need to tell the younger generation. We need to tell them that, you know, you have every right to be who you are.
At the end of the day, it's quite simple. We are who we say we are. And that's just it.
One more thing. I feel like why so many people are so nervous about telling younger people about anything LGBT related is because I feel like a lot of people, when they hear queer, they think something sexual. Like, they think it's a sexual thing. Like, it's a deviancy or it's a fetish. Like, no, it's who we are.
Okay. Yes, Legacy, Lord. What do you think? What are we getting wrong about gender expansiveness and trans inclusion?
That you have to subscribe to the things that you already know exist. You know, that you only, like I said, that there are the only options that you have are the options that you already have seen and that you can't create your own. Like I say this all the time, everything is a social construct, everything. And yes, our relationships to these social constructs definitely, you know, play very big roles in society and have impacts on society, but gender is a social construct, baby. Like, express yourself how you want to express yourself. Like, and don't get caught up on what society labels it as, if it's labeled as feminine or masculine, because all of those are energies, you know, and everybody has both of those energies inside them. It's just the way that we pull from those energies and our connection to those energies that matter, and, you know, what we make of those. Like, and if we want to be honest with ourselves and, like, really step into, you know, whatever power and influence those energies have on us. And, you know, the more you do that, the more people live their truth.
Legacy Forte is executive director and founder of Be More Black, a youth-led grassroots organization serving Black, queer, and trans youth in Baltimore City. Toby is a trans student in the 10th grade at the Baltimore Polytechnic Institute. Please be sure to follow and support Be More Black's work. Links to their social media will be posted on the On The Record page at wypr.org. You've been listening to Pass the Mic, a monthly series from On the Record. I'm Jabari Lyles. Thanks so much, and happy Pride, Baltimore!